Soft Stones by Peter Spafford and Mary Cooper.
Leeds, welcome to Leeds, with non-stop nightlife, unrivaled shopping, galleries, attractions and brand new cafe bars. Leeds is the city to savour in the year 2000. Fly high in Leeds. Welcome to the Party City.
My first sight of Leeds was that time with you. A weekend visit to your family home and my introduction to the north. Years later, I still recall that view from the station. A swarm of rain over the square. Poor sod, I thought, coming from here. To me, from the mild, plummy south, a country boy, everything, pub, church, shop, was sooty brick under a stone-walled sky. Leeds in 76, pre-Ripper, factory of northern cliché, capital of chips, was not a name on any brochure's lips.
Leeds, capital of the north. Stylish shopping, boutique hotels, round-the-clock entertainment, Leeds is where it's at, and not just for the young.
Oh yes, it's changed. Night and day, Leeds is the place to be, though with work and a toddler you could have fooled me. Your dad would have hooted at this. Good coffee on the wind, the old bricks scraped to a pink, healthy bloom. Leeds, he'd say, Leeds without the gloom. And you? What would you notice now if you were here, in this city you visited often and always about this time? What's changed in a year? That club revamped, or the pub they've renamed Murphy's that was the King's Head? I'll tell you what's changed. You're not around, because you're dead.
Last call for statues and monuments. Last call for statues and monuments of Leeds. The trail starts here in 2 minutes' time.
Statues and monuments. That'd be nice. A tour of things that can't be rebranded or given a different face.
And don't forget, we need your vote for the new Leeds statue. Yes, Leeds is getting its first new statue for years. Come on the trail, make your choice, and we'll count your votes at the end.
The burglary stats, the boarded flats, the drugs, the sink estates of Leeds. The landlord slums and burnt cars, leave them. Another statue, that's what this city needs.
Are you for the trail, sir?
Sorry, I've got the shopping.
Go on, 1 hour of your life.
Really, I'd love to, but...
form, then. A brand new statue for Leeds. Which of your Leeds heroes or heroines would you like to see on a plinth at Eastgate? Atkinson Grimshaw? You know him, the painter. Mary Seacole, Eddie Waring, anyone. They don't have to be on the list.
Anyone?
As long as they're from Leeds and worth remembering.
How should we remember? With a stone? With a bench and a view? With a picnic once a year? That isn't you. With a statue in town. I'd see you each time I was here. Out shopping, jogging for the number one bus. But statues embody a virtue, a moral. What does your life tell us?
Ladies and gentlemen, statues and monuments. My name's Verity, and I'm your guide for today. Are we all ready?
Aye.
Then let's cross the road to our first monument. Cross carefully, please. Cross carefully. Oh, you're coming then. I knew I could tempt you. Here, have a leaflet.
I came from London to live in Leeds one pink November day in 92. A city like a room can clutter. You can stay too long, keep too much. There on that street corner, a meeting missed. In the scrape of a train leaving, familiar shouts, a chance lost. Walk, drive, ride a bus, and a street will bloom with a feeling, a face. New monuments. That's why we moved to a place. And Leeds was new to me, if not the world. A northern city you drove through or round. A name swirled darkly in die-hard southerners' talk. First night. Strange room. Curled like a bean. I dreamt of the walk I took next day, first day, mapping each twist and fork on the untrodden, undriven way to my newfound high street. Pubs, cinemas, shops, the skyrack, Brett's. Just to play the names on the tongue made them shine like separate drops in a cold Yorkshire squall. fresh as the local butcher's chops I ate that night, back to my back-to-back wall in the first house, the empty house, knowing that no one would visit or call. But you did. You were my first caller, first guest. You were the good and welcome past, your visits hooking the wire of my life to this new, present place. You came, you went, never saw much of you. Met over breakfast, talked of light things lightly, friends, family, the work you were here to do. You were the certain expectation of a letter or call, a message on the answer phone, a note saying back late on the table, rarely, irregularly present, but out there somewhere, bound like birthdays or bonfire night, to come again. Now you do not come. You are a hole in the air, the nagging anniversary, a ghost in the calendar. How should I remember you? With flowers, or a fresh-fenced sapling in the park? Will that do? I will go back to the corners, the squares, the crossings of my life, where you stand or smile or wait, and carve you out of the fine stuff of time, and cast you in words. You will have your statue.
So, what have we here? A knight in shining armour. We could all do with one of them. Thomas Brock's equestrian statue of the Black Prince. And when was the Black Prince in Leeds? Never. But Leeds was an up-and-coming place, and the aldermen wanted a grand hero, someone to symbolise the youth and commercial clout of their great new city. In fact, the Black Prince was so grand he was too big for any British boundary not to be cast in Belgium. So here he is, up on his high horse. And as for his torchbearers, these scantily clad ladies holding up lanterns, well, Leeds had just got electric lighting. Their lamps lit up. Well, wouldn't yours with him riding into town? Though, actually, he didn't ride. He came Venetian style by barge from Hull up the Aaron Calder Navigation. Picture the scene. In 1903, when these statues were finally unveiled to the public, the whole city turned out.
Cross carefully. Cross carefully, for you are watched by all the eyes of all the boys and girls who gathered here in Sunday best, laved in the new electric light of civic pride and the brightening of young minds by public art. Cross carefully, glance, do not drool, admire, do not stare at where the metal linen drapes from these lamp-standard women. They are times of day, the morning and the evening star, their job to hold a torch for him, their prince protector. Cross carefully. Look long, look hard, for he is king, warrior, a lord, a man. Action, not passion, deeds, not desire. Model his stance, emulate, aspire. Be master of yourself. And you too become the conqueror.
Go back 30 years to the corner of 1970. Carry on along the bottom of Oxfordshire, down into Berkshire, turn right at Bracknell, south through pine woods and sandy scrubland, left through big gates. Can't avoid it.
We were all young conquerors then. If I see you as a boy, I picture you there, son of empire, full head above the rest, stooped, walking fast as ever, perhaps because to stand for a moment, still for an instant, might invite the vices of stillness, the perils of silence, whatever they were. Schooled for action, schooled for sport, schooled for rough billets in a foreign port, schooled for ruling lines and black men and the poor, schooled for war, but prepared for what? You must remember the panels in the old hall, heavy wood, painted robin's egg blue. You would have looked at them, wondered about them too. Turn the handles, swing them away from the wall. There they gleam, hundreds in ranks and rows, scored gilt gold in the marble, names embalmed like pharaohs. You, like me, would have scanned the silent lines for namesakes, grandfathers, uncles, felt their unlived futures shudder through, then shut the panels tight before the names asked, "What will you die for? How shall we remember you?"
Take the first chance you get to walk free, then head up a long, clear road to the fields of Gloucestershire in the perfect summers of the early 70s.
The sun sweats on your back. You bend and spear the hot, dry stuff with the fork. You pause for a second, then lift and swing and flick and smooth the hay to bed on the laden truck, and stand, ripe-skinned, 16, smiling on the track. You are hope and promise and strength and luck. I wasn't with you then on your trips to the farm, but you told me about them often, talking of great things lightly. I envied you there in your Gloucestershire field, in the mess and muck and ruck of real life, toiling. I spent my holidays with D.H. Lawrence's Love Among the Haystacks, scything nettles, going for long walks, tossing. Years later, you'd stand in various West End bars, in the artificial day of the city at night, still talking of the farm. Not the old farm, the one in your memory. A new farm, wife, kids, that's what you wanted. Talking of great things, lightly.
Take the turning marked 5 years on and drive southwest to a small city. Head for the university. Park at the top of Pennsylvania Road. Look south.
And you're there as well. Same long stride and stoop. Off somewhere, fast as ever. The university theatre, in a cap. Theatre was your calling. Light, your learning and your living. You lit actors, clambered, scaled ladders, fixed and twiddled over other heads and lives. Deft at angling, tilting, knowing that to flood one thing meant another was for shading. Night after night you clipped and honed at vagueness, whittled at blurs, dimming, fading, filling shadows in. You hung the bright bauble of the play like a world in space. And us.
Remain in the mid-late 70s. Leave the city on a rainy day for the big dark lump on the southern horizon, Dartmoor.
Walking on bog, crashing through crispy mud and fern, singing Bernstein and Sondheim, dancing Jerome Kern. Walk together miles, get wet, get back, shower, cups of tea, warm dry clothes, then out in your car for steak, chips, trophy bitter. When the bill comes, we're one penny short. I think it's hilarious you're distraught. In the pub, by the fire, I talk of women, as only a virgin can. Great walk, great talk, great all to look forward to, great beer life. And now you tell me you fancy men. The fire chews its logs. The heat blazes in my cheeks from the cold day. We drink up, walk home, find a piano where you play.
In case we get lost, directions for Park Square. Walk past the post office building, turn left along Infirmary Street, and then across East Parade into St. Paul's Street opposite. But if we all try and stick together, come along.
Mobile phones. Bloody nuisance, if you ask me. Oi! It's yours!
Yes, sorry. Hello?
Sound like you're in church.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
But you only ring on this if something's happened.
Nothing's happened. I've had to say milk.
Milk?
Oh, you haven't haven't already been.
Where?
To the supermarket.
What kind of milk?
Green Top will do. Where are you?
Shopping.
Well, remember, they're coming at 12.
All here. Meet Circe by Alfred Drury. Circe was a pretty young goddess. So pretty that when Odysseus passed through on his travels, his men took one look at her and turned into pigs. They blamed it on her. Well, they would, wouldn't they? They said she'd lured them with drugged food and wine and made them forget their pasts. A Drury, being a good Victorian, gave her a slash of drapery. And that pig, rearing up at her, yes, the dribbling one there, was attempting to strip it off. But as you can see, some passerby succeeded where Piggy failed, leaving poor Circe starkers. And what's Circe doing with her hands? Well, in one, there was a goblet, and in the other, a wand. But they're gone, too. But isn't she tantalising? Now, if I was a man...
So, what do you reckon?
Sorry?
What do you reckon to her, then? Not matter. I know you're not supposed to talk like that, not these days, but man to man.
A middle-aged man in a sweat.
Go on, you wouldn't say no to that.
I look at the girl. I look at the girl in the park on her plinth in the sun. The goblet she poured is gone. The action of pouring has subtly become a gesture, a dance for herself alone. Old weather has drawn white claws of lime from breast to thigh to shin, tenderly mauled by 100 years' rain and 1,000,000 eyes, but no other line on her naked girl's skin. She knows that men will make pigs of themselves without the aid of sweet dosed wine.
Look at those legs. Neck like a swan's. If I were 20 years younger...
And she wasn't made of bronze. But I'm down there with them. Down in the slick of the pig pen. Down with the man in a sweat, in the mud with the men. Did you never fancy women? Never grow hard pig hair at a chance-met glance or skin with skin. Never twitch like a snout for a Circe's snub breast, or snort at the thought of a wet cleft place, and have to let me, please let me in.
Go straight on back up the decade. First year of the 80s. Oldham, Lancashire. Depths of winter. Can't miss it.
When I think of us, I think of distance. We've walked a long way, come a long way from the same place. Year, school, class. If I picture us, see us in a glimpse, I see us walking the same way, some way apart. Not seeing or thinking of each other, then rarely but regularly. Houses and trees between us part, and we wave and meet, remember why we meet, and walk together for a while, and part. We've come a long way, lived a long time apart. Then occasionally, suddenly, I think of the night in the snow. We've come a long way, walked a long way. We're laughing and panting, our mouths waving the flags of our breath. The sky filling the lanes with snow. We've walked a long way. We have stumbled and fallen and sung our songs. We're drunk with warm beer, cold air, walking home. We've walked a long way. Come a long way to the bed in the dark in your room with the snow filling the world outside. We're lying close and talking and falling asleep. Not asleep. Listening to the breath of the other, listening. Lying apart, not apart. Breathing. Feeling the heat of the other's breathing. Our hearts are stamping. We are hot in the bed from the cold we have been, and the walk we have done, and the breathing we are. We are listening and breathing, and waiting and waiting. We have come a long way to be friends a long time. To be breathing and waiting and touching and breathing, and touching and breathing and coming like this. And when I think of us, I think of distance. After that, we met as usual, saw a show, went for a drink, ate,
thought lightly of great things. Went home to bed and touched and breathed and came. We'd find some piano you'd play. I was always in love with a Jane or a Penny. It was great. We tried things out. We were old friends, sons of heroes. It was only sex.
So here, on the distant plain of Woodhouse Moor, is Henry Rowland Marsden, 1878. And who was Henry? Well, not so long ago, everyone knew Henry Marsden. He was Leeds' most popular Victorian mayor, a self-made man from very humble origins. Maybe that's why some folks mocked his statue. And he does look a bit full of himself, doesn't he? Stuck up there on his big square plinth in his best mayoral robes. Know what they called him? Johnny on his potted beef.
Johnny on his potted beef.
So, what about you, then?
Sorry?
New statue for Leeds. Who are you going to vote for?
Oh.
Right, look at this list. William Congreve, Bardsey-born playwright. Beryl Burton, champion cyclist. I've never heard of him. Now, Len Hutton, I'd vote for him. Who makes runs like Len these days, eh? It's heroes we need.
No more heroes.
But they don't want heroes. Look what they did to Churchill. Put bloody grass on his head. See what I mean?
Well,
I know who I'd have. That young teacher girl who saved those kids from the Axeman. That's what a hero is. Someone who does things for others.
Johnny on his potted beef looks the part and rules his world. City-worthy, beard of plenty, Johnny with his waddy on his potted beef. Johnny on his potted beef did the world and came back home. Won his station and his money. Clever, canny, hardy, gritty, Johnny, Johnny on his potted beef.
This week, you're seeing Henry restored to his full dignity. Last tour I led, some witty student had climbed up and put a traffic cone on his head.
Johnny on his potted beef, man complete, his deeds well done. Did it, made it, built it, Johnny. Now a vomit stop by the grog shop. Marble windbreak by the bus stop. Clever, canny, generous Johnny scans beneath his traffic cone a world that only finds him funny. Henry Whatnot, Johnny Thingy, when he did he was he, Johnny? Poor old Johnny on his potted beef. Johnny, Johnny on his potted beef.
Take the M4 heading east to London and the slip road marked mid-80s. When you get there, get the tube to the West End, have a drink, pick up your comp for the show.
Tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight.
And you will have lit it. You've made it, though you'd rather die than admit it. You lean on the bar in the skin of the prime you're in and the work that you are. And where have I been? In London, young actor, serving in cafes, fiddling the dole, swearing my integrity, desperate for a chance to sell my soul. Plays were dreamt up, shown in pubs for a brief week or two, seen by friends and mothers to sink without review. One day I call you, I've a play I need lit. I should be so lucky, you're a rising star, but, loyal fool, you agree as a favour to do it. You bring some lamps, work like a demon, all hours perfecting the rig. By the time you're finished, this small black viaduct arch looks like the Hammersmith lyric. We thank you, you go, leaving our techie in charge. First night, first act, the whole place fuses. We have to do the show in the dark. I dined out on that. They say time heals. But that was 10 years worth of free Chinese meals. Now it's your show. We sit in the elegant West End theatre bar in the warmth of the pride I have for the friend you are. Nothing has changed. You sit there, modest, fine, respected and known for your work, as I am unknown and unpaid for mine. Light is your living. Fixing, leaning from scaffolding, directing at others the light they need. Only now, as never before, I see the light you play to bring them to the eye leaves you in the dark. Nothing has changed. In the past, after a show, we would eat, go home together.
Now we do not go home together. You will take the blur you have not honed fine and stand and wait in the dark at a bar. You will go alone with a shadow you have not filled in to a club and drink and find the man. You tell me this. It's not a boast. You talk of the waste of money and time, the strangeness of being a straight-thinking queer, and the shame. Part of me wants to scrub this now. Stop plucking bits from your life as if you were merely a herb to plop in the stew, a sadness specific enough to add savour and moisten a subject as stony and stiff as statues of Leeds. Listeners crave a personal story. HIV. That'll thicken the flavour. I thought with writing this poem I'd see you clearer, know what it was, this strange formal intimacy, always on hold, on pause, as if to scream or be silent, be real, would somehow cause a thing too raw to expose its head, or nothing at all. We were always so bloody even-keel. Never the ones we drive all night to, or call if mega down or ecstatic up. We'd meet for our meal every neat 6 months and have our chat. I wanted, with this writing act, to feel and mark the miss you are. Simple as that. Is this what I meant? I write and read out a poem. It's up there, splat, on the wall or in the air, freestanding, a monument of words. Not of us, skin, bone, not of you. Almost as if what bursts me to write it is leaked and spent with every memory I rescue, each incident plundered from the secrets drawer to make this particular real and true. And it isn't, of course. Just the grid of rhyme and beat alone cricks the truth out of joint, out of time. A statue is raised. The statue mimics, but only mimics, the first idea. Vain glory to statue makers and their tricks. But it isn't you here.
Take the M1 from London and follow it all the way to the top, back to where we started. The dreaming towers of a great northern city.
It's my new house in Leeds. I've had it a year. I'm happy as Larry. It's great to be here. I'm living alone. I'm born again free from the pains of the past. It's summer 93. I've fresh eyes for everything. This new, clear space. Want it here. Want it now. That's why we moved to a place. I'm through with relationships. Who needs one of them? I'm living alone. And I've just met someone. And she's here now, tonight. First date. Big night. And I'm cooking curry with a bad dose of first date fright. She's talking, we're falling, and I've just lit a nightlight. I've cracked a new bottle, and she's just had her first bite. When someone knocks. Outside, standing in the dripping rainy summer's night, is you, Daniel, smiling with your bags in the streetlight. Yes, I know you're coming. Tomorrow. Sunday night. But here you are on Saturday, an unwelcome sight. Your face falls, you say thinly,
"Oh dear, wrong night."
That's right. The room is lit, the table and the scene set for two. An old friend arrives, soaking wet and hungry. What do you do? What did we do? Shift, shuffle cutlery. Watch the occasion sink. No, we laughed, all three of us, and had a drink. That night you slept in my bed. Well, it seemed to make sense. And I went back to hers. I've been there ever since.
And suddenly, amazingly, it's 1999. Wind down the window. Take a closer look. It is.
I knew the result of the test, but it didn't sink in. I was busy. You were keeping fit. I knew that sooner or later you'd be in touch again.
Three words she said as she woke.
Dan was here.
We lay, hot smooth stones in the bed, waiting for the words to clear in the little shock of silence they made us allow. I answered densely, here.
Now,
she said.
I dreamt it just now, in a bright red jumper, sitting on the bed, very still.
And I thought of you then and remembered with shame how I never bothered to write or ring until, once a year, you came with your work to stay. And then in a rush, I knew that you were ill. Three words, she had said. I didn't even have the dream. She did.
Dan was here.
Then I went downstairs. Thick cream paper. Good paper. Strong. Now, a year on, I hold the letter to the light. Conqueror, the watermark proclaims, behind the lines of your small, neat hand. I scrape and tear at the awkward words before I understand. Hemoglobin, low potassium, CMV, cryptosporidium, paromycin. Talking of great things lightly. An inventory of illness. You had entered the knowledge and named its parts with all the passionate pedantry of the ill. Hold it to the light.
Sorry, but I've just remembered tea bags.
They won't drink tea.
No, but we will. Did you get the milk? Hello, did you get the milk?
Listen, I've got a confession. I haven't been shopping. I'm on a statue trail.
Statue trail?
I don't know how it happened. I'm sorry, I meant to go shopping. I was almost there, then suddenly I saw this guide. I got sucked in.
So, how many statues do we intend to trail? It's 11:30. They'll be here in half an hour. And what about the tomato salad? I've oiled basil, garlic, and no tomatoes.
Look, we're nearly done.
Oh, forget it. I'll go.
Two last meals with you. Outside the National Theatre, river, tea. I ask you how you are. You don't say, I'm dying. It's the last time we'll meet. You say with a hissed in breath.
They can treat my stomach. It's the rest.
The lips seethe back from the teeth. The skin sucked, drum-skinned back across the bones of your face. A smile, a grin. Your face a plastic bag a man is drowning in. But no one is smiling. Breakfast, your place. You're looking for egg cups, too. You look in a different cupboard. They aren't there either. What to do? You look in the washing up, the drying up, the cutlery drawer. You look in the cupboard where you've just looked before. I say, laughing, forget the egg cups. I've got a plate. I'm fixed.
They must be somewhere.
You say, turning, old man turning. I'm thinking, where next? As you bend slowly, like something from Jurassic Park, stoop down, slow motion, to what? The bin.
I know.
You say, triumphant.
I know what I've done. It's the drugs. My brain's gone.
I want to say you're going to die. Tell me what that's like. Forget the egg cups, Dan.
I'm going to find them.
Your father, the old colonel, snaps.
They can't be lost. I can't have been so stupid.
Then he stops. And quietly.
I'm getting like this.
You say. Daniel says, from inside, the joke old man, the rubber face.
I can't let the small things go.
And fumbling in the mess of the bin, you find the lost egg cups. If life, as someone once said, were a fan of cards, many might have envied your deal. Sex, booze, bright lights and travel, nothing to leave, no luggage, plenty of clubs, no hearts. But you never played games. That last breakfast, watching you hiss eggs through white, chapped lips. I might have guessed you would blame yourself for time lived too fast in the dark, life rushed at, gulped in haste. Might have known as, pushing the plate away, unfinished, you would rock back, wipe your mouth, and say the word I dreaded. waste.
Right. As you can see, we're outside the City Gallery. This is the former Garden of Remembrance, and here we have the Leeds War Memorial, 1922, by one Henry Charles Fair. To the right, you can see St. George spearing a dragon. And to the left, Invictus Pax, a hooded female figure holding a dove. A figure of victory originally topped the memorial, but there's a story there. Let's get closer.
Walk past, walk by, easily done. There is plenty in the scene to coax the eye. Giant chess, a woman begging. From this, the obvious, always on show. A permanent exhibition out here on the headrow. Vertical feature for the city planner, part of the picture, lean-to for weary backs in summer. Built in bronze and stone of everlasting stuff to remind Leeds of the timeless, this paean to paean is strangely hard to notice. It has lost its grip, forfeited its power to remind forever by being familiar. So in time with grief. You can stay too long in a place.
In the 1960s, the figure of victory became unstable after a storm and had to be taken down. Where did it go? No one knows. It was a lost victory. Then suddenly it appeared quite recently in Lawnswood Cemetery, just the head, all cracked and defaced. And what's up on top instead? Well, you can see for yourself. In 1992, they replaced the old victory with this lovely, stooping figure of peace laying flowers.
So who in this story is the conqueror? What is lanced with this poem? Dragon? Sacred beast? Who is the hooded woman? Is the dove thrown down or released? At your funeral, I didn't know a soul. Were there other men in their 30s standing at the back on their own? I didn't look round. As I drove to your funeral, I thought, it's Daniel's funeral, matter of fact. But when the choir started singing, I wept like a cracked mirror. I could have gone back, shared with a formal stranger tea and a few strained memories. But only I knew the you that knew the me I was with you. Sometimes when I cry, I think I'm crying. I touch my face, slimy with tears and snot. It feels good. But at your funeral, I wept like a desolate child for the burned library, the archive of ashes a dead friend is. Backstage at theatres, I think about you. In theatre bars, I think about you. In the Italian after the show with a steak and a bottle, those harmonies in that madrigal, I think about you. Any brass arrangement with a shiny hi-hat tinking away at the back. In the week you died, every snatch of music I heard. But 5 years from now, I stroll up the street where you lived. I think about you. I pass the places you worked. I think about you. I sell the CD player you bought me. Tape over the New York jazz you taped me. I think you're losing my mind.
So, Henry Moore, reclining woman. I've heard people say all sorts about this. That's not art. Women don't look like that. What an ugly bugger. But I reckon you either loathe it or love it. And I love it. Look at the big curves on that. She's a round woman sunning herself up here, slap in front of the Leeds City Art Gallery. No artful young girl like Circe pulling sailors. This one doesn't care who walks by or what they say. What do you think?
Take a span of stone, a block of time, a chisel, hammer, and good aim, and we will be the sculptor gods, create ourselves in perfect form.
We'll plan a trail round hip and thigh that's all our own. We'll whittle and we'll hone the concave arch of armpit. Lose the earthbound convex curve, and it will not be waste, but light and space, a crystal line of meaning. The blade sinks in the block. We taper time and shave our will to meet the model in our mind until we hit geology, the family fault lines coursing through, and history, the blood of time, leaks from wounds we never drew. The hammer slips, the light refracts, the unknown caller turns our head, and minerals seduce our dreams, demand we mine eruption deep. The danger is we cut away and cut away till all that's left, a twig of time, a brittle bar of stone will snap, will gasp apart to leave the final gap. That means the whole is without art, a heap of spoil, a pile of waste. Far better, then, to stop, accept the friability of stone, rip down the plan, cut with the grain, forget the nose you tried to form, recline upon your polished arm. Let all admire the shape you're in, and lie at ease within your skin.
How should we remember? With a tree? With a bench and a view? With a stone? With a picnic once a year? This is what I've made for you. 40 minutes high. It takes no space in the square. Made not of stone or bronze, but of breath. Not standing, but moving in waves through the air. I lay it before you, like the figure of peace with her flowers. A poem for your timely life, not your early death.
Right, well, I've counted your votes, and there's just time to announce the winner in our own private statues and monuments poll.
Here we go. We should have had a bet on this.
Are your choices for the new Leeds statue? In third place, Eric Sykes, comedian. Second place, Sir Len Hutton, cricketer. And the winner of the competition by a handsome margin, the World War II RAF hero who risked his life for his country. Yes, our new Leeds monument would be Flight Sergeant Arthur Aaron, VC.
Who? Now, he was a hero. But I still think they should have had Len.
And that completes our trail for today. If you'd like to make a donation to the Statues and Monuments Trust, a bucket will be coming round. Good afternoon and goodbye. And thank you for your attention.
In Soft Stones, him was played by Alex Jennings and her by Sarah Parks. The guide was played by Anne Reed, the man by Russell Dixon, and Daniel by Glenn Cunningham. Soft Stones was written by Peter Spafford and Mary Cooper and directed in Manchester by Susan Roberts.